DW.
I'm at Little Barnet, a dairy farm in the eastern part of South Africa.
Basically, now we are at the dairy. We are milking.
That's Sibongiseni Nomkoiya. He's a manager here, and he's showing me around a little.
This is a 50-point rotary.
He shows me this massive rotary, which is basically a machine that looks like a carousel at an amusement park. But instead of horses, there are 50 cows that are simultaneously being milked.
At my primary school, I was always one of those kids that will always be on the top three in terms of academic performance.
That's Chilitse Machitsula, the general manager and part owner of the farm. He's been held up many times in the media as an example of what successful land transfer looks like, or land reform as it's known here. And that's justified. Though he has about 1,070 animals now, when he started working on the farm 10 years ago, it had 50 cows and was an example of everything that typically goes wrong in land reform.
The farm was full of bushes. When I say bushes, I'm talking about thick bushes. When I came here for the first time and I was told that this is where you'll be working, I was like, oh my God, I don't know, am I gonna do this?
Before Machitsula took over, the land had been bought by the government and given to a trust made up of 18 previously landless beneficiaries. He was called in to manage the farm in 2007. As a young graduate of animal sciences, he saw it as an opportunity to gain experience, but was soon daunted by the task. The previous owners clearly had no agricultural skills.
Just imagine if you take me into a surgery and expect me to do a heart operation. I've got to be honest with myself and say, I don't know nothing about that field. It's not different to what is happening now. So you give people a farm, okay, with not any formal training. The chances of that being success is almost nil.
The land had been given to the beneficiaries as a way to redress the historic dispossession of black people's land that had taken place at the hand of the apartheid government. Between 1913 and 1994, it was illegal for black people to own land in 87% of the country. Though well-intentioned, many of these land reform projects resulted in farms becoming fallow, however, which is why Machitsula's success story is such a notable exception. Using his knowledge, he could turn the farm around, make it profitable, and eventually own 40% of it, along with some of the previous land reform beneficiaries. I head off of the farm to speak to some other people on the issue and get a sense of how land reform is generally going in the country. At a farm stall in the middle of nowhere, I chat to Ernest Pringle of AgriSA, an association that represents commercial farmers in the country.
It's not land reform per se that we're concerned about. It's the way land reform is being done that is our fundamental problem.
According to Pringle, the problem is that beneficiaries are not being selected for their ability or desire to farm. Instead, those merely at the top of a waiting list receive the land.
If you're not a farmer, land becomes a nonsensical thing to have because you will never be able to extract from that land what it is you're after.
Often what people seemed to be after was money. In many land reform cases, beneficiaries would sell the land back to white farmers, further entrenching white ownership in the area.
The department realized, no, this is not working.
That's Nomfundo Mbewana of the Department of Land Affairs in the province. She says about 10 years ago, the government noticed this trend in resales and adjusted its strategy.
Now, what we are currently doing, we're buying land proactively and lease out to people so that if the people do not use the land productively, we are able to take it back and allocate it to somebody else who will use it.
No statistics have been released yet which can confirm whether the leasing system is resulting in fewer land reform failures or not. In the meantime, it is clear that the country needs clarity on the issue. With 67% of agricultural land still in the hands of white farmers, the topic of land ownership threatens to further inflame racial tensions.
So we are saying that black people, all of us, we need to unite and amend the constitution so that we can expropriate land without compensation.
That's Julius Malema in Parliament. He's the leader of the far-left party, the Economic Freedom Fighters, which earlier this year made calls for the expropriation of land without compensation. For now, Mbewana and her party, the ruling ANC, are officially resisting those calls.
We are all one and we are living in this country and what we want is to live in harmony.
And though that is the party's official stance, some legislation is currently being proposed which explores various approaches to taking land from white farmers without market value compensation. None have been passed yet. Back at the dairy farm, I can actually see some tender signs of racial harmony. While I'm there, Machitsula, the farmer you heard in the beginning, is visited by a white neighbor, René Pinard. At Machitsula's request, his neighbor's driven 60 kilometers to give him some advice about irrigating his pastures.
You've got a formula for that.
No, it's easy enough to work out.
Yeah.
No,
the mood is light and friendly. Something that is rare when it comes to land reform discussions. A lot of the groups calling for expropriation without compensation seem to suggest that white farmers are reluctant to help in the land reform process. Machitsula disagrees.
Most white South African farmers, they're saying, please, show me where you want my help and I'll come out. You know, that to me, it tells me we're going somewhere as a country.
Exactly where the country goes will depend largely on how it deals with the politically volatile issue of land. Hopefully regulators can learn the positive lessons from stories like Machitsula's and redistribute land while maintaining food security. For DW, I'm Tony Andrews in the Eastern Cape, South Africa.
DW.